Beloved in Christ, when someone professes their faith in Jesus Christ in this church, in front of all of us, says, "I do," to those wonderful vows, assuring us that they know they are sinners, that they know they are saved at the cross by Jesus' blood, and that they know they want to serve Jesus. They know how great their sin and misery are. They know how they've been set free from those sins and that misery, and how they're to thank God for such deliverance. When that joyful day comes for them, they have reached the home stretch. Their race started with a nudge. Perhaps that nudge was from one or both of their parents or grandparents. Have you ever thought about professing your faith in Jesus, son? Have you been thinking about saying what you believe, my dear? A nudge. Or maybe that nudge came from a cadet or a GEMS counselor, or from an experience on a mission trip. Or that nudge felt heavy on their broken heart when a family member died, but before they did, they said how sure they were that they were about to enter heaven and how important it is for their grandchildren and great-grandchildren to have that assurance too. And hearing that was a nudge they could not ignore. Of course, when you get to the realest source of all that nudging, you recognize that God was the one all along nudging you. His Holy Spirit was working, nudging them deep down in their hearts. And so, with their race now underway, they sign up for the class with the pastor because, well, he nudged them too, with that bulletin announcement that gets repeated for about 2 to 3 months, actually, before the class starts. Feeling that nudge, they zip him a text, and then he tells them he'll put them on the list, and keep your eyes open for when the class starts, and he's excited they'll be part of the class, he tells them, and the race is underway. And the class starts. And one of the first things they find out is that they need to write out their testimony, write out their spiritual life story, their profession of faith, and tell what nudges brought them to this point, and especially make sure to tell in their testimony what you believe about Jesus and what he's done for you. And by the way, that testimony will be in the bulletin the day they make their profession of faith, as it should be. So they start thinking about their testimony. They go to the 5 sessions on Sunday afternoons, and they gear up for going before the elders. What years ago used to be a rather nerve-wracking experience, it isn't anymore. It isn't. And even if they're a little nervous, this is too important a nudge to ignore. Speaking and telling the elders about their faith in Jesus Christ. Their race is in full swing now as they get ready. And then comes the day when they're up in front of all of us at last, when the congregation can read their profession of faith in the bulletin. It's the home stretch for them. They'll stand up and say, "I do," and they'll be congratulated afterwards, maybe have a little party with family and friends, and their race will have reached the finish line, all because of a nudge from God. This set of 11 verses from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Philippi is a profession of faith paragraph of Paul's. It's his testimony. This is a specific kind of testimony. It's not the one where he tells how he was blinded by the brightest light he ever saw on the road to Damascus and met Jesus, who completely turned his life around. That's a terrific part of his testimony, but that's not the part he mentions here. Because here he's writing to a bunch of people who are getting their information from some big shots who think that circumcision and following to the letter a bunch of ceremonial laws are what saves them. He calls it putting confidence in the flesh. That's what they're being told is going to save them. And if the people in this church want to be saved, they better do the same. They better put their confidence in the flesh like the big shots who know all about this sort of thing. So the Apostle Paul tailors his testimony to that context to speak loudly and clearly against those big shots who are running their race in the wrong way, according to Paul. So let's read it now. Philippians 3, middle of verse 4 to the end. or to 14. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, and you could add, for a good part of my life, whatever were gains to me for a good part of my life, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, like the big shots think they have, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, believing in Jesus, faith. I want to know, verse 10, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we have Paul giving his profession of faith. This is what I once was, totally messed up, thinking obeying a bunch of ceremonial laws was going to save me, getting circumcised was going to save me, being born with the correct pedigree would save me. I once was lost, you see, but now I am found. Jesus found me, nudged me, got me in the race, and now I'm in the home stretch and about to reach the finish line. No! He got nudged. He got in the race. And remember, Paul is arguably the greatest Christian who ever lived. Taught every one of us here the theology of all theologies. Pauline theology, justified only by grace through faith. Paul put it all together for us. Greatest Christian who ever lived. Greatest missionary who ever lived. Planted umpteen churches, kept track of hundreds and thousands of people. Read the last chapter of the book of Romans sometime. He lines up 30-plus people as he writes, hey, greet all these wonderful Christians for me, remembers all their names, greets them all by name, knows where they're at in the faith, what they need. Paul, greatest Christian theologian and greatest Christian missionary who ever lived. Yeah, what a testimony. What a profession of faith. He joined the race, got in the home stretch, and went zooming to the finish line. You know what Paul would say to that? I said it a minute ago. No! If you think that, you've got it wrong. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this. Verse 13, in case we missed it in verse 12, he repeats himself. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. No, no, no. I'm running the race. I'm not standing up and saying I reached the finish line. I'm all finished. No. In fact, just the opposite. I'm still in the race, as we all are. Secretariat, fastest thoroughbred ever. 1973, wins the Triple Crown. First race of the Triple Crown is the Kentucky Derby, and he was in last place and went on to win it. And he was coming around the home stretch at Secretariat in fourth. He's in third. He's coming up on the outside. He's passing Sham. He's first. There he goes. It's Secretariat by 2 lengths. He's got the course record. 1 minute, 59 and 2/5 seconds. Fastest ever time. Still, he got in the race. He came around the home stretch. He crossed the finish line. Still the fastest horse ever. At his autopsy years later, his heart was in perfect condition and was 22 pounds, 2.5 to 3 times larger than the average horse's heart. Secretariat. The Apostle Paul easily could be likened to Secretariat, who blew everyone away and crossed the finish line, and then eventually was treated with respect and lived the good life in a pasture for another 16 years, his racing over, but his accolades living on. Paul says, no, not that I've already obtained all this. I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. What is Paul talking about? When our professors of faith go before the elders in that delightful interview filled with joy, I close that time, every time, by reading part of this passage from Philippians. The problem is I start right there, where Paul is saying, not that I've already obtained all this, and the time in the meeting with the elders is short, so I don't fill in very well what Paul is talking about, what Paul has not obtained. And so I'll tell you now what he is talking about. He is talking about what he says in verse 8, 10, and 11. Hope you have your Bibles open. He is talking about knowing Christ Jesus is Lord. He's talking about wanting to know Christ, so that by knowing Christ more and more, Paul will also know the power of Christ's resurrection. And Paul will know what it means to participate in the sufferings of Christ, becoming like him in Christ's death, and knowing Christ so much that somehow Paul will attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying, hey, I haven't reached the finish line. I'm perpetually coming around the home stretch. Perpetually. The home stretch is the most exciting, of course. Paul is saying, I'm perpetually trying to get to know Jesus Christ, my Lord, more and more and more. Because the more I do, the more I'll know the power of his resurrection, the same power that spoke this world into being, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's some kind of power. And Paul is saying that I want to know Christ so much more that I'll not only know resurrection power, I'll participate in Jesus' sufferings. Sufferings will come my way, and I'll endure them for the sake of Jesus Christ. In the same way Christ suffered and died for me, Paul is saying that I want to know Christ so much more that I'll attain to the resurrection from the dead. And the whole time he is saying this, he's also saying, I've not obtained this. I've not taken hold of this. Are you kidding me? Greatest Christian who ever lived? Sure you have. No, I have not. Everything else is garbage to me compared to knowing Christ more. And I need to know him more. Strain to know him more. Reach to know him more. Press on to know him more. Stretch to know him more. That's the goal. That's the prize to which God is calling me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so we give you a Bible. Professors of faith, at your profession of faith. I'm sure you have plenty in your home already, but we give you another one because we know that what we all ought to be doing is perpetually coming around the home stretch and wanting and working hard to know Christ more. That, dear friends, we have inserted into our Vision 2030. You know our vision by now. We're on our final sermon on it in this series, and we've had this vision for 5 years when it was back Vision 2025. And we looked ahead to the year, this year, 2025. And you know the three parts of our vision motto, reach, renew, grow. And you also know, I hope, that reach is part of a longer phrase, reaching out with the gospel. And you also know that if you were here 2 weeks ago, the new stretch goal that goes with that one, this is what goal we are stretching for the next 5 years. We are reaching more people disconnected from faith in Christ through the creation and use of a clear path of belonging. Pay attention to those words, creation and use. You also know the second part of our vision is renewing our community. And if you were here last week, you would have seen the new stretch goal that goes with the second part of our vision statement. It is we are renewing our community by strengthening our local relief partnerships and expanding the use of our church property. And now today, we want to look at the third and final part of our vision, growing closer to Jesus Christ. You could easily substitute the words growing closer with knowing Jesus Christ. But we're not going to change our vision statement. It's just good that you know that. And so we introduce our third new stretch goal. This one goes with the final third of our vision, and it is this. We are growing together in our walk with Jesus Christ through the creation and use, I told you to pay attention to those two words, creation and continual use of a discipleship pathway. So over the next 5 years, we hope to create that pathway and begin using it, and our faith formation committee is beginning the work of putting together that path of belonging we heard about 2 weeks ago. Is already beginning work on this, just like the evangelism committee is beginning work on the path of belonging we heard about 2 weeks ago. The faith formation committee is working on the discipleship pathway. So what is a discipleship pathway? What might it look like? Here's a sample that another church put together. That church called it a journey. I know you can't read the tiny print. That's okay. We're calling it a pathway. You see, there are steps for all the faith community in that pathway, from the youngest to the oldest, steps on that pathway, steps related to, down the side column there, worship, study, prayer, service, invitation, giving, and so on, steps that move us along on the pathway of discipleship. So this example, one church put together, shows that the pathway for study, that is Bible study, moves a person from reading scripture when they're in a worship service. That's the only time I read my Bible. When I'm in a worship service. To reading scripture in a short-term Bible study. To reading scripture in a regular small group. All the way to memorizing scripture regularly. But know this, wherever we will find ourselves on that discipleship pathway after it has been created, just like Paul said, not that I have already obtained all this. And I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this. Just like Paul said, I want to know Jesus more and more and more and more and more. So the stretch goal that we're trying to reach for in 5 years is to create this pathway and use it, so that we always know the next steps we can take to grow in our knowledge of Jesus, in our knowing Jesus. What might be measurable evidence of that to help us see that we really are coming around the home stretch when it comes to discipleship during that 5 years? Well, look at this first one. It mirrors the stretch goal very closely. We create and communicate a discipleship pathway so that each person knows next steps to grow spiritually. But what about the next one? The second one, we get a little more tangible here, and actual activity already happening at Faith Community. 30 additional people are actively involved in 222 Disciple. What's 222 Disciple? It's a ministry, a program that a number of us have already gotten through or gone through, led by another brother or sister in Christ, and with the goal that once having gone through it, we would disciple another person and bring them through it. For those who are a little older, this has nothing to do with the TV show Room 222, starring Karen Valentine. Room 222. Google it, you youngsters. But it has nothing to do with that, so wait till we're finished to Google that, all right? It has to do with 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And the thing you have heard me say, the things you've heard me say, Paul writes to Timothy, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. It's a great discipleship verse, a learn to know Jesus more verse. If I may ask, who has heard of 222 Disciple? Raise your hand. You've heard of it. And who has gone through it or is currently going through it? Raise your hand. Yeah, a few. So, stretch goal, 30 more people in 5 years. Is that a stretch or did we go light on that one? All right, one more very tangible thing that we're going to start on January 1, 2026, because we have been invited by the Byron Area, extending now to Wyoming, the Byron Area Ministers Association, and by our church also through the Faith Formation Committee to develop that wonderful spiritual habit, spiritual practice of reading the Bible. Something we all know we should do. Reading the Bible every single day. Maybe some of you do that already in your effort to grow closer to Jesus, to know Jesus. But we're joining a campaign in 2026, January 1st. You'll see this logo, One Book, One Body. About 15 churches in the area are already on board to work on knowing Jesus more and more and more through daily Bible reading, because in God's Word is where we come to know Jesus more. So look for that logo in material that will be coming out very soon. That's where we are, beloved. We're all coming around the home stretch repeatedly, because the more we know Jesus, the more we want to grab hold of Jesus. So we work to obtain, attain, grab hold, reach for, strain for, stretch for. Those are all Paul words. It's our home stretch to grow closer to Jesus, to know Jesus, our home stretch, our perpetual home stretch. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for Paul's testimony, just a small part of it here. We're thankful that he has told us, as the greatest Christian who ever lived, the greatest missionary who ever lived, he's told us the most important thing he ever wanted to do since meeting him the first time was to know Jesus. To know Jesus and to know him more and to know him more and more and more and more and more. So, Father, not that we just want to be like the Apostle Paul, but we want to do what the Word of God tells us, and that is to know Jesus more and more, perpetually coming around that home stretch, so that, yes, one day when you do call us home and we do cross that finish line, we will see Jesus and know him face to face. But until then, get us perpetually coming around that home stretch, knowing Jesus more and more through your word. In his name we pray. Amen.